There is, as you will guess, an enormous amount of things that are not told us, not because they are deep secrets, but because we have much to learn first. The fact is, that with our necessarily limited knowledge and powers of comprehension, we should fail to understand them in our present state of advancement. It is like your school books, Roger. You were obliged to start at the beginning. A peep at the end of them would reveal things far beyond your then capabilities, and so would convey no meaning whatever. We are in no different case here as regards innumerable problems or questions. So we jog along, and find we at Manon the worse off for not knowing the answers. Everything fits into its proper place in these lands, and none of us would be handicapped in our progression by lack of knowledge. The knowledge will be there at the right moment. In the meantime, there TMS no harm in our having as many discussions as we like among ourselves, so as we at Ma doing at this minute. If it are TMS possible for us to have light thrown upon thema subject to the limitations I have mentioned, either then the light will come, you can be sure of that. This is a sensible world, Roger, as you will have gathered, though if some earth folk were to be relied upon, or believed, in their wild fantastic notions, this would be one of the silliest places in the universe. How would you like to exchange this life for one that has all the appearances of a long continual Sunday? I should hate it. So would we all. But there are people on earth who regard that mode of existence as being the very height of spiritual felicity, paradise, in fact. There is another point about this longevity of the spirit world and the prime of life. And that is, some of us would tend to change rather in outward appearance if by chance we should be old or elderly when we came to the spirit world. On the other hand, there has been very little change in both Ruth and me, on account of our respective ages at transition. You, Roger, will naturally move onwards towards the prime of life period, and some change will no doubt take place. Not much, but some. Other prevailing earthly fashions or modes would have some little effect, at any rate in men, for there have been times on earth when bearded gentry were the rule. Now you may have noticed we don't yet TMT indulge in such facial adornments here, though if you wished to grow a patriarchal beard down to your waist, or any other kind, there is nothing whatever to prevent you. There TMS no law aging it R.O. It might require some considerable courage. Certain of our friends might make very pointed remarks if I were to cultivate any facial decorations. I should, for one, I said Ruth. Which I should at once ascribe to pure envy. You can see, Roger, how it is. Identity isn't a TMT lost, but it certainly can become obscured, as you might say. The manner or womaner when he is old looks very different from when he was young, and the man with a beard looks vastly changed without it. And those changes are not long in taking place. One soon shakes off the physical characteristics that belong to the earthly side of life, and puts on the spirit world personality. Thereafter, longevity makes no difference. Take the comparative ages of Omar and his aide. There TMS a difference between them that can be reckoned as 3,000 years of earthly time. Could you honestly say which of the two the elder is? No, Monsignor, impossible. It is the same with millions more of us. What would happen in the case of people whose features are very well known on earth? Do you mean historical figures or contemporary? I was thinking of both. In the case of historical people, there are all sorts of factors. One is that there may happen to be no accurate picture of them on earth to which reference can be made. Artists have tried at different times, and built up some semblance from records containing a description of the particular person. Most of them are inaccurate as to the pictures, I mean. So that you might find yourself talking to people here, and be totally unaware of the fact that on earth they were once very famous people. Their identity has, in such cases, become completely submerged, as far as externals go. Of course, the person himself is still that person, although greatly improved, as we all hope to be. The old painters did their best, and turned out faces that were at least human, which is more than can be said of so many of the present earthly painters. But the originals have changed beyond all recognition. A what, after all, is earthly fame, of one sort and another? It depends upon what the fame rests. It is possible to see on the earth at present many whose fame rests upon a reputation of utter fatuity. Fatuity is not so much their fault as that of the empty-headed people who give them such generous support. There are people, too, whose earthly reputation and fame were of a very unsavory kind, but who have since risen to the realms of light, and are profoundly glad that their portraits on earth are inaccurate delineations. Recognition, therefore, fails in these lands. A Chapter 10. A Lesson in Creation. I asked Roger, would you regard this house and everything that a TMS in it, and all that you can see from these windows, as something pretty solid? I certainly should, he answered. Why do you ask? Because, my dear fellow, there are people on earth who will have it that all this is a condition built by thought, and therefore having no concrete existence, as they would term it. Odd, isn't it? I think I can understand it, in a way, I said Roger, because when I woke up on your couch, it did occur to me that it might be a dream. Then what happened? Well, I saw you sitting at the foot of the couch, and there was Ruth at my side, and you spoke sense. Thank goodness for that. You know what I mean. We laughed at the boy TMS confusion. Of course, Roger. You mean that the whole situation was sensible, and not the sort of crazy things that usually happen in dreams. Yes, that a TMS it. At once it was all very real. You remember I put my foot on the ground. After that there could be no suggestion that everything here is not real and solid. Real and solid, Roger, that is the vital point. The trouble would seem to be that folk on earth have not yet fully realized the true significance of the power of thought. Within limits they have some idea, and a good idea, but it is my opinion that they don't yet carry the matter far enough. Take your mind back to the time when Ruth and I came into your bedroom on earth. We just came in, as it were. Nothing was solid to us. The walls meant nothing. And we meant nothing to you as yet. Even when you did see us, we were pretty unsubstantial. The whole of these lands were as yet invisible to you, though you did begin by seeing us. Then what happened? One life ended for you there, and another began in your bedroom, or to be precise, in the spot where your room was situated, and we took charge of you for the time being. Had you remained the wookie it was Ruth put you into a nice little napper, you would have seen what we too saw, a vapor room, with rather vapor people in it. We could have said with similar justification, that the room was only a condition, and not a state. But we know differently. That room was real and solid to your folks there in it. You had changed your condition, from earthly to spirit life, but you had not turned yourself into a state, nor had we done it for you. You see what I mean? Now, had you anything in mind about a future life? No, you hadn't told us you had no TMT, so that you could not have found yourself in some kind of thought creation of your own, based upon what you supposed the spirit world to be. No, but could no TMT I have found myself in some kind of state or condition that someone else had created? Well said, my lad. That a TMS precisely what did take place. So that, to use definite terms, it must be a solid type of place that others can see and feel and experience here and enjoy. Then where comes the difference between this and the earth? The difference lies in the fact that here there is no solid earth condition to interpose itself between us and our thoughts. Whatever is created or made on earth has to be thought about first, planned, perhaps drawings made if it is something a bit elaborate, and then fashioned by machinery or by hand, as the case may be. Here we dispense with the intermediaries, as it were, and let thought do the job, which it does very capably. Thought has direct action here, TMS where the real difficulty is, because thought has such direct action, folk on earth think that the results must be intangible, dreamlike, and capable of being, or liable to be, dispersed upon the slightest provocation, or upon none at all. Our thoughts in these lands have far greater power and scope than on earth. To make things concrete on Earth, one had to get past the thinking stage. Here one is always in the thinking stage because that is the last stage, if you follow me. Immediately upon the thought that follows the concrete article. I don't yet EMT mean for one moment that we merely think of what we need or desire, and hey presto, there it is. Dear me, no. This house, Roger, was carefully thought about, planned, and then the masons and builders got to work. But their work was performed by thought alone. There were no intermediaries in the form of the procuring of materials, and the erection of scaffolding, and so on. Those friends thought, and thought produced this very real and solid house. And here it will remain. A Wiatma not sitting on anything. Wiatma sitting in comfortable chairs, and they are resting on the floor. This is not a thought condition we're living in, and a good thing, too. Then if you want to make something, you have to learn how to make it. Is that it, Monsignor? Very much so. Do you think you could make a table like that, this very minute? I'm sure I couldn't. No, neither could Ruth nor I. Ruth makes tapes, Teresa. You've seen some of them here, Roger, but she makes them on a machine, itself made by an expert, with materials also made by experts. But the Atma nonetheless real for that. How do you suppose the flowers and things come? I haven't a TMT the faintest notion. Would you care to see some being made? I should, very much indeed. Then let us go and call on the mana or one of Thema who does it. As we made our way thither, we explained to Roger that the friend upon whom we were calling keeps what on earth would be called a nursery garden, that when he was incarnate he had done similar work. I imagined, said Roger, that the flowers grew here in much the same way as on Earth are from seed, and so on. That doesn't TMT appear to be so from what you say. What happens, then? Let us wait until we get there, Roger, and our friend will tell you all about it. Look, now. You can see where the gardens are. In front of us we could perceive great tracts of brilliant colors, each color separate, stretching far away in field after field. There were trees of far all kinds in every stage of growth, from mere saplings to veritable patriarchs. We followed a path that led directly to a large house. As I had already sent a message to the owner of the nursery, he was awaiting our arrival. Roger was therefore surprised when the opening words of our friend clearly indicated that he already knew of our impending visit. Ruth briefly told Roger about the thought process of sending messages, to which he replied by saying that that was something further that had to be investigated. We introduced Roger to our host as a new arrival who was following the usual procedure of seeing things for himself. I so had come to see the flowers made, young friend. Well, we've come to the right place, he said with a merry twinkle. Roger had by now completely overcome any shyness he may have had, and plied people with questions with a right good will. He commenced operations at once upon our gardener friend. Do you supply the flowers for all these lands? He queried. No. Only for this area, as you might call it. TMS lots more people doing the work in other parts. This is just one. Now where shall we begin? First come and see some of our products. Surrounding us were hundreds of flower beds, each containing a different kind of flower, and each arranged in orderly rows. We don't yet TMT make any attempt to be properly artistic in what we call our stock beds, though, mind you, the colors themselves attract great admiration, as well as the long lines of flowers and plants. It is the masses of flower and color that folk find so fascinating. Our own gardens, over yonder, we laid out for pure pleasure purposes. We noticed particularly the enormous number of blooms that grew upon a single stem of each plant. You see, explained the gardener, in the old earth plants the flowers fade in due course, and seed pods form, so that you might have half the stem with blooms and half with seeds. You can see for yourself that, without this happening, and the whole stem being filled with blooms for its right length, there TMS no comparison. TMS nowhere else but here, I mean, the spirit world where flowers could be grown like these. Cast your eye on those hollyhocks. Did you ever see such beauties as those, with blooms from the top reaching down all that way? And no fading or dying. That a TMS how we make them, and that a TMS how they stay. As far as we could see, were beds upon bed of such perfect flowers as incarnate I never beheld. Ruth and I had visited this beautiful place often before, but to Roger it was new, and such a revelation as to hold him almost speechless. There were flowers of every variety known on earth, all the old cherished blooms that have been familiar to earth folk time out of mind are the old-fashioned Eda flowers, as one liked to regard them, the hollyhocks and pansies, the snapdragons, Canterbury bells, and wallflowers, stocks, and a hundred other kinds. As may be imagined, the scent from this great collection was superb, not overpowering, but sufficient to make its presence pleasantly felt, and enjoyable. You can understand this work is more like a holiday when we compare it to the labor that would be required on earth for such large gardens as these. I doubt if there are any as big as these on earth, and these are in a TMT the biggest by any means. Still, we have everything that may be called for here. As I was saying, it a TMS more like a holiday here. We at Mano bothered with all the troubles of things on earth, the weather for instance, most of all the weather, or the right soil, and everything to do with the planting, and so on. It a TMS a long process on earth from the moment the seed is planted to the time you come to pick the blooms for the market. But here, bless you, we make our plant with its blooms already on it, in all varieties and mixtures of colors. We can have single blooms or double, as we fancy, or as others fancy. And on we have made them and planted them out. Well, there TMS nothing more to do, so to speak. But Rena TMT idle for all that, even if it's RTMS merely showing people round. You would think, Roger, I said, that our gardener here had precious little to do. Don't you TMT be deceived. He is the genius behind all our gardens, the designer in chief. He and his colleagues, brothers in the art, are responsible for the loveliness of the many gardens we've seen. We followed our guide along path after path, from flower beds to avenues of trees and shrubs. The superabundance seemed overwhelming, but our friend assured us that everything we saw would be put to good use, and was not the merely for display. Roger put a question to him, if the flowers and trees never fade and die, he asked, how is it so many are wanted? The demand must be enormous. You are right, the demand is enormous. Some people like to expand their gardens, or put in new beds. That a TMS one way we come in. Then there are the gardens in the city. The are often reconstructed or otherwise changed about. So we come in again. Then people feel the urge to change what a TMS growing in their gardens, and we supply them with new stuff, bringing back here what they have discarded. When you come to look around you, you can see there TMS still plenty of room to make more beds and fill them. Now come indoors, and see some of our treasures. We were shown into a spacious apartment containing many shelves filled with large volumes. Our friend took down one volume and opened it at random. It showed a picture of a tulip, exquisitely drawn in color. It was not an artistic reproduction in the strict sense of the term. It was a purely botanical picture, without background, and revealed full details of the flower and its foliage, so that anyone viewing it would know exactly how the flower was composed. Especially true was the coloring of it, so we were informed. It is from these paintings that our pupils learn all the details of the flowers before they commence the actual process of creation. Before you can begin to build a flower, or anything else, if it comes to that, you must know precisely all the details necessary for a faithful reproduction. Near enough is not good enough. It TMS got to be perfect. And the only way to make it so is to know by heart every twist or turn of the object that is to be created. You could take it right off the drawing, so to speak. In fact, that is what the beginner always does. But afterwards, he will study the picture or an original, if he prefers it, and that leaves him free, when the work commences, to devote his whole mind to the object in hand. A. In all these volumes you will find colored pictures of every flower we make here, both the earthly kinds and those that belong to the spirit world alone. A. In addition to these books, we have the prints hanging separately on the walls in another room. That a TMS done for the convenience of anyone who wishes to view them without looking through the volumes. Come across the hall into the big room. A. We entered a very large chamber where, hanging upon the walls, were magnificent pictures of every type of garden to be seen in these lands. It was impossible to assess the greater beauty of any one over that of another. They were all equally wonderful. A. Most of these gardens, A. our host pointed out, A. have actually been built somewhere or other in this area. Inventive faculties don't yet TMT seem to have any limit, as you can see. Some of these sketches have been presented to us from other nursery gardens, in the same way as we pass on drawings and sketches that portray some particularly happy novelty. A regular exchange goes on, for you know, young friend, in these lands we are always on the move in things. We don't you TMT stick in the mudo. A. At length our gardener friend led us into a smaller room where there were a number of young people busily occupied, and we were told that these were pupils in the art of horticulture. We perceived that Roger had all this time been immensely attracted and interested in what he was being shown. Not that he had exhibited any signs of boredom hitherto, but here there was an especial attraction, which, to the eyes of Ruth and me and the gardener, showed very plainly that he would like to take up this work himself. Our friend at last brought us to the climax of our visit, the actual creation of a flower. For this purpose he seated us around him, while he placed upon a table a small vessel similar to the ordinary flower pot. Into this he poured some A. soil, and without further preliminary, he requested us to watch the vessel upon the table. At first there was little to be seen beyond a slight haze of light round about the pot. Gradually, however, this formed itself into a distinct shape, which one could see was the outline of a stem with a flower upon it. This became more and more firm, until there was the complete adumbration of a flower, even to the color, though this latter was as yet rather pale. But there was sufficient formation to be able to observe unmistakably the kind of flower it was, namely, a tulip. The gardener rose from his seat, took up the pot, and examined it minutely, before he pronounced his satisfaction, and then passed it round for us to inspect. It was a beautiful object, shapely yet delicate, so that one could see clearly through it. I handed it back to its creator, who placed it upon the table once more, and with one final effort of concentrated thought brought the flower up to its full solidity and color, with apparently little effort. A. There you are, Roger. There TMS, a nice flower for you. Can you see anything wrong with it? A. The boy replied that he could see absolutely nothing whatever the matter with it. A. There is, though. Monsignor and Ruth know, but we have not let you into the secret yet. A. Roger re-examined the tulip, but again confessed himself unable to detect anything amiss. A. As a flower merely to look at, it is TMS the best we can do, but there is something missing, there is no animation to preserve it. We can't TMT give IO any flower A that must come from another realm, and we don't yet TMT ask for it until we are sure that what we have made is fitted to receive it. A. Oh, we make our mistakes, you know. Especially my young pupil boys and girls. You expect to have some mishaps when you are learning, but no harm is done. We return the elements to their source, and begin again. Sometimes we find a petal, for instance, has not been shaped truly. Perhaps one side of the bloom is a shade higher than the other, or the color may not be exactly as we want it. And so we have to begin again. A. My students find an enormous amount of pleasure in their learning, but the greatest satisfaction comes when they are fully proficient, and can turn out a flower or plant as perfect as the picture. A. How does the animation come? A. Asked Roger. A. Do you have to perform some sort of service for it? A. Do you mean a religious service? A. Yes, something of the kind. A. Oh, no. What we do is to send to that higher realm I mentioned, where someone receives our message. After that, all we know is that there is a rapid descent of the power we ask for. Of course, originally, it comes from the source, but it is passed on to us from another personage. It is a natural process and procedure, and the fact that we have created the flower or plant is sufficient. Our desire for its complete animation is fulfilled, our request is answered without fail, and without question. We should not attempt to ask for it for an inferior article, though we could have it even for that, but our natural pride would not attempt to allow us to do so. At first I examine all my pupils' work. If any slight modification or improvement is needed, that can be done, but if it atms too bad for improvement, then it atms started anew, and the malformed work is discarded. It atms very simple when once you are in the running of it, so to speak. As with many other things, it atms easy when you know how. I should not atmt like to say that to at least as far as the atmm concerned, I said. Atmm convinced I should turn out a flower such as had never been seen before, and was never likely to be seen again. Come now, Monsignor. Would you like to try for yourself? Indeed, I should not. I should be far too nervous, especially with the three of you gazing at me and waiting for trouble. They laughed at my frank expression of plain cowardice. As a matter of practice, we don't UTMT go about it that way. Every new pupil retires with me into our little sanctum, where we make our experiments and first essays at creation in seclusion. So TMS no embarrassment at all. Of course, my dear friend, I know that, but all the same I don't yet TMT somehow think I should make a great success of it, I affirmed. Would there be, do you think, a vacancy of any sort for another learner, asked Roger, because, if so, I should very much like a question mark to become one, I said the gardener, finishing Roger a TMS sentence for him. TMS plenty of room, and to spare. But before we go into that, let me finish off this tulip. It won't a TMT take moment. So Broken Bar he held the tulip in his hand, and instantly we saw a flash of light descend upon it. It came and was ended almost before he realized it. Now, said he, we have something very different. Smell. He gently waved the flower to and fro before us, and we were at once aware of the most subtle perfume. Place your hands round the bloom, friend Roger. Roger did so. He said, it atms alive. I can feel thea, what is it, sort of electricity? Running up my arms. And no, it atms not electricity, but it is power. That is actually the life you feel, and it atms passing some on to you, for your benefit. We have not finished yet. Put the pot on the table, then take hold of the stem of the plant, and give it a little shake, as though you were trying to shake a drop of water off the petals. That atms the way. As Roger performed this simple action, a most perfect sound issued forth, as of the striking of a small silvery bell, of clear and sweet tone. He repeated the experiment over and over again, such was his surprised delight. Do all the flowers make that sound when this is done to them? He asked. All the flowers, and many other things beside. The water, for instance. You can bring out some lovely sounds from that when it is disturbed. But before the tulip was given life, it was silent. Well, now, you would like to join us. We shall be delighted to have you whenever you feel disposed to come. Ruth and Monsignor are showing you round for the present. TMS plenty of time. See the world of our worlder first, Monsignor? That is so, Roger, I said. Do you feel you want to start here immediately? No, not this instant. Good, then we can continue our perambulations, and see some more, and then our friend will be happy to make you one of his pupils. I can give you any details that you might want to know, without taking up too much of our friend at TMS time. And so the matter was pleasantly settled, and another happy soul made happier still. Chapter 11. The Man in the Cottage. You mentioned other places, Monsignor, A remarked Roger A places that are not pleasant, as these are. A that is so, Roger, A I replied. A where are they? A as to their precise location, well, that is not so easy defined. As I expect you at have noticed, the four points of compass have no significance in these realms or anywhere else in the spirit world.